We got any believers in the house tonight? You know, anybody expecting great things tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, I'm in the right place. Look at someone else and say, you're in the right place too. Amen, amen. I just want to pray over our offering. Father, we just give you thanks and praise that as we bring our tithes and offerings to you, Lord, we know that you are good. And Lord, that when we sow into your kingdom, you always return it back unto us, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Father, I thank you for blessing every gift and every giver. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. And, you know, we've been studying about examples, about having a living legacy of God's Word in our life. Amen. You know, you can leave great things behind. Amen. And the best thing that you can leave is a heritage of faith. I want your relatives and your neighbors and the next generation to know that you are a person of faith. And you believe God and you walk with God. And they can learn things from your life. Amen? Doesn't the Bible command us to be examples? Hallelujah. Well, and these examples are written for our admonition, weren't they? There are things that we can learn from people in the Word of God, and we're gleaning some things from the members of the Hall of Faith. Amen? These were written in here so that we could learn some things from them. So tonight, well, I'm excited. I just better get into this. We're going to have a lesson on faith for your future. Did you know that every one of you have a future? Now, none of us know the full picture of what's ahead. Amen? But we serve a God who can see the big picture. He sees the beginning, he sees the end, and he knows how to get you to your destination. Amen? In thinking about this tonight, I actually thought of you, Caleb. Now, you have a glimpse. You know that you're going to be a doctor, but you don't necessarily know where that's going to be or, you know, for what organization you're going to work for. You just have a glimpse. And because you have that glimpse, you are pursuing and you are preparing and you're getting ready for when that becomes, for when the next step, when the next phase is revealed. But God's got your future. Listen, God wants, say this, say, God wants the best for me. He has my best interest at heart. He wants to lead me into plenty. All right, so let's get into this. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. It says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Woo, I like Noah. He became an heir of righteousness. Let me read this to you from the Amplified. Okay? Prompted by faith, Noah, being forewarned by God concerning events of which as yet there was no visible sign, took heed and diligently and reverently constructed and prepared an ark for the deliverance of his family. By this, his faith, which relied on God, he passed judgment and sentence on the world's unbelief, and became an heir and a possessor of righteousness, the relation of being right into God, into which God put his person, puts the person who has faith. Amen? So I want you to know, be encouraged, God knows what's ahead. Now you may think, you know, it's incredible to me how God spoke something to Noah that had never occurred before. Anybody know what that is? You know, if you read Genesis 2:6, the Bible tells about how a mist would come up from the earth and water everything. You know, isn't that awesome that God put an automatic sprinkler system in the earth to water it? And all Adam had to do was go and pick fruit. Adam didn't even have to pull weeds in the beginning. He just had to walk through the garden, pick fruit, and name animals. I want Adam's job. Amen? But when it came to Noah, God said that it was going to rain. And I'm sure that when, you know, when God speaks of something that you've never seen or heard of, you'd be like, huh? Look, can you tell me that again? It's going to what? It's going to rain. Do you realize that Noah did not know what rain was? Noah had not experienced rain. All he had was God's word. And God was telling him something that had not yet occurred. So God knows the big picture. Listen, God has a good future for us. He has plans to what? Prosper us and not to harm us, but what? To give us an expected end. Say, God's got good plans for me. Now, we know some things about Noah, all right? We know that Noah, go with me to Genesis for a moment. Let's look at some of these things here. Now, there are some criteria that God has if he's going to share with you what's to come. All right? And, well, I can't really say that because he shared with Pharaoh what was going to come, didn't he? Pharaoh had a dream that had not yet occurred, but God was sharing it to him, but he didn't know what it meant, so he needed someone to interpret it. So he needed a Joseph. But in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8, it said that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Anybody know where to find grace? You find it before the throne of God, right? We know Hebrews 4:16, come before the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and what? Find grace in the time of need. So Noah was a believer and he approached God by what he knew, okay? So he walked with God, all right? And notice verse 11. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Isn't it interesting how Noah was able to find grace even in the midst of violence? That tells me that you don't have to respond to peer pressure. Just because everybody's being bad doesn't mean you have to be bad. Amen. Just because everybody makes wrong decisions doesn't mean you have to make wrong decisions. Amen? God wants you to stand out. He wants you to be different. He wants you to stand out and to stand up for him. Okay? And so Noah was obedient. You know, when God told Noah what to do, did he have to pray about it? He simply heard God and his mind couldn't even comprehend it because it had not occurred yet. Noah couldn't even imagine what it was like, what God was saying. He just knew that something was coming and he had to get ready. And Noah was compelled to begin to prepare and to begin to pray and to prepare for what was coming ahead because God warned him. Amen? And guess what? When you walk with God, God's going to tell you things that are coming ahead too. God will work. He will do his best to try to prevent you from harm. It is not God's will that you experience danger or harm, and he will do his best to try to get you to avoid that. But you got to listen to what he's saying. Because we are limited in what we can see and what we know, but he is not. So you've got to be in constant communication with God to get into the future that he wants you to have. All right? And we know that God did not forget Noah, right? Go to Genesis chapter 8. God remembered Noah. Whoo, aren't you glad when God remembers you? You go through something and you wonder where God is. He said, don't worry, child, I didn't forget you. He said, I've been right there with you. Say, God remembers me. If he knows your name, he remembers you. Noah operated by faith. How do we know? The Bible says by faith. By faith. Noah did what he did by faith. Can we learn something about Noah's faith? What physical evidence did Noah have that it was going to do what God said? Noah had absolutely no physical evidence that it was going to rain. First of all, he'd never experienced it, so he couldn't rely on his experience. He didn't even know what an umbrella was. He didn't know what a raincoat was. Why? Because if you don't have rain, you don't need those things. Amen? And then God speaks to you and says, it's going to rain, Noah. I want you to prepare a boat. Okay. From the moment that God spoke, Noah began to do what God said. Now, God gave him specific instructions. He gave him how to build it, what to build it out of, the dimensions and everything. Amen? So Noah was obedient. Noah operated by faith. Did you realize that Noah built the first recorded altar in the Bible? After God remembered him, he built the first altar. And he offered to God. He gave an offering to God. Amen? Now, in an agricultural society, they gave animals. That was their commerce. That was how they traded. Hey, I'll give you 2 sheep for that coat. Right? That's how they traded. So God, Noah, gave an offering. He offered all the clean animals. And you know that Noah was honored by God? God was willing to make a new covenant with Noah. God honored him. And Noah exemplified persistent faith. He was 500 when God spoke to him, and he was 600 when the flood came. How many years is that? Can you believe God for 100 years? Can you have a good attitude for 100 years when you're in the minority? The reason I think it took 100 years is because I don't think he got much help from other than his family. You got to think about this. Noah lived in a very wicked time. People were so wicked that God was willing to destroy the people on the earth. Some people have a hard time keeping the faith for a month, let alone 100 years. But Noah had to keep faith. Every time he had to gather lumber. He had to gather provisions. He had to gather the animals. There was a whole lot of organization and administration that he had to use his faith in. Noah wasn't even in the Navy, and God asked him to build a boat. But from the day God spoke, he started gathering materials. He started sharpening his saw. He started getting his hammers and all the nails together. He began to prepare the minute God spoke. How quickly do you respond when God speaks? Okay? Now, go to Revelation 1:8. Revelation 1:8. You know, God is awesome. Amen. He knows what's ahead. He has foreknowledge. He knows what's going to happen before it happens. Do you realize that God knew how many people were going to be here tonight? And he had the people here ready and prepared because God's got a message for you. God wants you to know, stop worrying about your future and start trusting God for your future. Because you don't know what the future holds, but he does. Do you know that your loving Father will lead you to a good future? It is not God's will. The Bible says that it is not God's will that any should perish. Is it? It's not God's will for any to perish. But he wants everybody to come to everlasting life. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. John is caught up in heaven on the Lord's day, and he's had this vision, and the Lord appears to him, and he says, I am Alpha and Omega. That is the first of the Greek alphabet and the last of the Greek alphabet. What he's saying is, I'm the beginning and the end. I'm the total picture. I know what's coming ahead. I know the end before the beginning. The beginning and the ending, says the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. You have got to trust God that he sees more than you see. He knows more than you know. And so part of you getting into the future, that God, part of you for having faith for your future is trusting God. It's being willing to follow God wherever he may lead. You've got to know that he's got your best interests at heart. You've got to know that he wants you to succeed. You've got to know that he will lead God and direct you because he wants you to get to a place. God did not create you so that you could just sit on a log and do nothing. What happened to the one who buried his talent and did nothing with it? His talent was taken away, wasn't it? If you don't want to do nothing, God will take what he gave you away, and you'll be left with nothing. You got to use it or lose it. Go to Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46. When God tells you to go someplace that you've never been, quit arguing with him. Don't have a discussion, you know. Let's just take Moses, for example. He's born, and his mom hides him because he was beautiful. She's like, that's my boy. I'm not killing my boy. You crazy? Says, I don't care if they have a law that all the baby boys are going to be aborted. I'm not aborting my child. So what does she do? She hides him. And when she can't hide him anymore, she puts him in an ark in the Nile River with crocodiles and snakes and all kinds of things. And she lets her baby go floating in a river without a life preserver, just in an ark that she made. How many moms would feel comfortable doing that? That has to take faith, wouldn't it? Sometimes you got to do things out of the ordinary. If you're operating in faith, you will more than likely not be comfortable. Because faith is stepping out into the unseen and the unknown, except you know him. I mean, that's all. When you're operating by faith, you only need to know one thing: him and his voice. So Noah gets picked up by Pharaoh's daughter, and I love God. God sees to it that his mother gets paid to feed her child, to nurse her child. Isn't that cool? So he gets raised in Egypt. He knew all the ways of being a prince in Egypt. He was raised in the royal house. He had nice clothes, good education. But he got in trouble. He got into the flesh. He killed someone, and he became on Egypt's most wanted list. So he fled Egypt. And what is he doing? He's leading sheep where no one knows where he is. But how many know that God knows where you are? And maybe you are where you are because you need to learn some things. See, because God wants you to have a good character before he promotes you to the next level. So you got to learn some things here before you go to there. And, you know, he sees this bush on fire. The bush is not being consumed, but he sees this fire blazing and it gets his attention. And so he walks over and investigates, and God begins to speak to Moses. And he begins to tell him how he's heard the cry in Egypt. Isn't it interesting how God knows exactly what's going on in Egypt? But see, God's got a plan. He needs a man as an insider. Are you willing to be God's insider? Are you willing to go where God wants you to go no matter what? No questions asked? I want you to go back into Egypt. And you know, I'm not going to go into all the detail, but Moses gives him all the excuses of why he can't go. And God answers every excuse. And then Moses is out of excuses. Guess what? When you run out of excuses, you might as well just obey. Amen? And God sends him back into Egypt, where he fled, where he was shamed. There was a bounty on Moses' head. They wanted to kill Moses. Would you be willing to go back in there? Listen, God needs a deliverer, and he's chosen you to be the deliverer. Listen, God knows how he made you. He knows what he put in you, so guess what? He knows where you best fit. He knows what you need to be doing. So what does Moses do? After he runs out of excuses, he says, okay. So he goes into Egypt, and what happens? He delivers God's people. Do you realize that God told Abraham, before they ever got into Egypt, he said, my people are going to be in a foreign land for 400 years, but they're going to come out with great stuff. He told Abraham long before it ever occurred what was going to happen. Because God is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10. This is powerful. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. Can you say there's none else? I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Say, my God knows. He knows what your future is before you get there. And if you listen to him, you'll get to the right one. If you don't, you won't get to the right one. If you don't listen to God, you're going to end up in a future that God didn't create for you. You're going to end up into your own future. How do I know this? Well, we know from the prodigal son. He was creating his own future. His future was, as long as I have money, I'm going to have friends. So give me my money now. He had to have it now. He couldn't wait. I want it now. Give it to me now. Father gives it to him. What happens? He spends it all. Where does he end up? Was it God's will for him to end up in a pig pen? No. It wasn't. But he chose the pig pen. Maybe some people are in a mess because of the choices that they made. But you know what? Good thing about that is you can change your choices. Do you realize he got tired of the pig pen and he said, I don't want this pig pen anymore. Guess what? He made a different choice. And he chose to go back to the future that was prepared for him, being his father's son. And aren't you glad for God that God can, he can give you a redo? If you miss the future that he has for you, you can redo it. Amen? Just don't wait too long. So the prodigal son, he came back and God accepted him. Amen? You know, God told Abraham that he was going to make him a great nation and a father of many nations years before. God knew that Abraham was going to be a father years before, long before Abraham knew it. God already knew that he was going to be a father of many nations. And he knew Abraham's heart. He knew Abraham's makeup. He knew that if he told Abraham to go, Abraham would go. Because, you know, God knows whether or not you're going to answer his call or not. Daniel 2:28. It says, but there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets. And he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what it is that shall be in the latter days. He was revealing what was going to happen long before it ever happened. Why does God reveal things for the future now? Because he needs people with faith to start believing for that thing. When God shows you something, he wants you to put your faith towards it. He wants you to latch on to it with your faith, and he needs someone to agree with him in heaven so that he can make it happen on earth. Will you be the one who agrees with God? Will you be the one to hook up with what God wants to do? Like a little boy holding his father's hand as they cross the street. You know, it's amazing how a little child will grab his father's hand as they walk across the street. And he, as long as he's got his father's hand, he knows he's going to be okay. That's all God wants. He wants you to take his hand and walk with him. Let's walk into the future that God has for us. Amen? It's a big future. It's a great... Listen. And don't think that age is a factor. John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost in the womb, right? And Abraham had a son at 100, so that pretty much covers us all, right? Listen, don't let your age be an excuse as to why you can't do what God said to do. It has nothing to do with age, but it has everything to do with faith. Faith for your future. God wants you to have faith for your future. He wants you to believe for things now so that you can walk into them then. Faith brings them into from the unseen to the seen. See, it was unseen that Abraham was a father. But what happened? His faith made it a reality. His faith pulled it down, and even though it took 25 years, he met his reality because of faith. He kept holding God's promise. He kept holding God's word. He wouldn't let go of it. I can just imagine when Abraham introduced himself that the people probably got tired of hearing him call himself a father of many nations. Why are you always calling yourself a father of many nations? You don't even have any kids. Oh, yes, I do. You just can't see them yet. You know, you've got to be bold about what God says. When God called me to preach, I didn't know how that was going to take place. I didn't know that I would end up in Palmyra, Pennsylvania. I had no idea. But there were little things that God gave me instructions that I had to obey. If I would not have obeyed those instructions, I would not be here today. But you gotta follow God's instructions. All right? Did you know that the coming of the Son of Man are going to be just like the days of Noah? There's going to be a lot of evil taking place, but in Luke, I think it's Luke 18, God said, when Jesus returns, will he find faith on the earth? You mean that so many people will not be operating in faith, that faith is going to be hard to discern, hard to detect? How many people got on the ark? 8 out of how many billions of people? You realize there were more people living in Noah's day than there are in our day. Because they lived to be 900 years old. So eight people believed God for their future. Billions of people did not. Make a choice today that no matter what, you're going to be a person who believes God. You're going to be a person who has faith in God. Make up your mind. You got to get in, get out, or get run over. Amen? Go to Acts chapter 2. Acts 2. See, what we can learn from Noah is how to have faith for our future. What does that mean? When God speaks, you do. Whatever God says, you take it to heart. And you invest your whole self into doing what God said. That's what it means to have faith for your future. That means you follow God. Even if you don't like it. Have you ever seen God or read where God said, "This is my will, do you like it?" It's funny how God never asks us if we like his will. It's not a matter of like or dislike, it's a matter of obedience. So you may not like where God wants you to go, but if you don't go with God, you're going to miss your wonderful, glorious future. Acts 2, 23. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Yes, God knew there was going to be a crucifixion, but God also knew that there was going to be a resurrection. And he kept the resurrection hush hush, because the enemy didn't know that there was going to be a resurrection. Because when the crucifixion occurred, the enemy thought he won until he got a big surprise 3 days later. And that was the knockout punch. That's really when Jesus made a show of the enemy openly. He totally stripped him of everything in the spiritual realm. Now Satan's a naked madman lying everywhere. He's lying, deceiving, and running around in the spirit naked. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse 10. For we are his workmanship. Now that word workmanship doesn't really do much for you. But you know what that word really means? You are God's masterpiece. You are God's Sistine Chapel. You are God's Mona Lisa. You are God's, Statue of David. I'm not an art-oriented person. Say, I'm God's workmanship. Notice what he did. You are created in Christ Jesus. And guess what? Each one of us was a cookie that didn't come out of the oven right. And God had to remake the batch. We were all crusty and burnt because of sin. But God said, I'm going to remake the batch and I'm going to make you in Christ. See, we were made in Adam, but now we're made in Christ. You are a new creature with a new feature. You have a new song in your heart. You have a new way of living. You have a new walk to walk. You have a new purpose. You're a new batch of cookies. And this time you came out a whole lot better. And you taste really good because God put some flavor in you. Say, hey, for flavor. Say, I got some flavor in me. Spice is nice. All right. Do you believe that you're God's masterpiece? Some of you think because you've been scarred that you could never be a masterpiece, but that's a lie. Amen. Old things are passed away. In Christ Jesus, all things become new. You got to believe that you're a masterpiece. Listen, if God created you, he made you good, because God does not create junk. God is not Sanford and Son. I don't know if you ever saw Sanford and Son, but they ran a junkyard, and every time he got in trouble, he'd go, "Oh, easy, oh, easy." I don't know why that's coming out. But you see how Satan can lie to some people to tell them that they're not a masterpiece? Because of the things that happen to them, those are lies. That's a lie. We are. Did it say we're going to be? It said we are. His workmanship, his masterpiece. You are created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works, which God has foreordained that we should walk in them. Every one of you, God has destined you for good works. And he wants you to walk in those good works, but it's going to take faith. That's why he said should. Having the good works is not automatic. You've got to do it by faith. You are his workmanship. Notice, you are his workmanship. He purchased you. You were worth nothing, but Jesus saw value in you, and so he purchased you with his blood. See, sin devalued us. Under sin, we were a house condemned, not livable. But in Christ, he tore down the old and built something new on a better foundation. So if you want to walk in the good works, if you want to connect with the good works that God created you for, then you got to do it by faith. That's what Noah did. Wasn't building an ark a good work? Yes, it saved his family. Was the work hard? I don't know. I never built a boat that was over two football fields long. A football field and a half. Can you imagine the backyard every time Mrs. Noah was doing the dishes? Noah, look at all this stuff that you got in my backyard. When are you going to get finished with thing? No, she probably didn't do that because they were partners together. But, it sometimes kind of helps for us to think about this. And you realize that he was building a boat where there wasn't a lake. Think about that. And everybody that passed Noah when he was building his boat, he talked about how it was going to rain, and they looked at him with a blank stare. That man is crazy. Johnny, I don't want you going over Noah's house anymore. But see, he was operating in faith. He was doing what God said to do. He took God's word to heart. And he was going to build that boat no matter how long it took. See, when you start a project, a faith project, you got to be willing to see it through till the end. There will come a point in time when it'll finish. It only took 52 days for Nehemiah to rebuild the wall. See, Nehemiah was like Luke. He was a masonry guy. He had to patch the wall. You know, there was break in the wall, and they had to patch it up. Everybody worked in front of their house. Everybody took a section. Everybody helped. You got to have faith for your future. You don't know what's ahead, but God does. And if you follow him, it'll be good. Doesn't mean you won't experience challenges. It doesn't mean you won't suffer some. But suffering in God is persecution and criticism. But you're God's masterpiece. Okay? So we know that God reveals secret things to the faithful. And there was no way that Noah could rely on his physical senses. He only had to rely on God's word. He had to know God's word. He had to know God's voice. Noah diligently and reverently constructed and prepared the ark. When you believe God, you do what he says immediately. You pray and you prepare. They told us at Bible school, they said, preparation time is never lost time. I knew that I was going to have a ministry someday, but I had no idea how it was going to, I had no idea what it looked like. I didn't come from a line of ministers. My father sold insurance. The closest thing that I have to a preacher in my family line is my grandfather's brothers were auctioneers. And God calls this Polish boy from Illinois into the ministry? I didn't know what the ministry looked like. But you know what? I grabbed a hold of God's promise. And what God spoke, I put it in my heart and I kept it there. And I would pray about it. I would pray about it and I would listen to God and I would pray about it and I would go where he told me to go and I would do what, doesn't mean I did everything perfect. And it doesn't mean I did everything with a good attitude. Oh, believe me, I failed my attitude test a couple times. But after failing a couple times, it really inspires you to do good. And God spoke to me, even before I was ever a minister, he said, I would travel for a short time and then I would pastor. You know what? That's exactly what happened. I traveled for a short time and look at, I'm pastoring now. I did what God said. He was preparing me. See, God will reveal things to you so that you can start to prepare and start to get ready. Some things require preparation. You got to get things in place. See, having godly fear means you don't hold back. It means you're all in. Whole heart. Noah had godly fear. He had the fear of God. He was like, God spoke. He said, I'm going to do everything within my power to make this come to pass. Because God said it. God chose me for this. Were there days that Noah could have quit? Probably. He passed up marvelous opportunities to quit. Do you realize if Noah would have quit, his family would have perished? Think about that. When you're tempted to quit believing God, when you're tempted to quit living by faith, there's consequences that could bring harm. I think about the opportunities that Pastor Fiona and I had to quit, but we passed them up, praise God. Aren't you glad we didn't quit? See, having godly fear causes you to sober up, straighten up, and stand up. Genesis 28, when God appeared to Jacob, he said, "Woo, God is in this place." Do you realize that Jacob's fear scared the tithe out of him? That's where he committed that he was going to tithe to God. And guess what? When he made that commitment, that's when God worked on Esau's heart. And him and Esau reconciled because Esau wanted to kill him. And Esau could have killed him. But because he had godly fear, Jacob set some good... Do you realize that Jacob set a good future in motion by his fear of God? You can read about it, last part of Genesis 28. And godly fear supersedes man-made laws. Remember when the midwives, they disobeyed Pharaoh. He said, kill all the male children, right? And the midwife said, oh, well, I'm not doing that. I'm not killing a baby. What happened? God gave them houses. Read it. God gave them houses because they honored God versus honoring man's law. When man makes a law that goes against God's word, you are not obligated to follow man's law. You better go the opposite direction. You better uphold the Bible. And then, you know, we know that Noah became righteous. Listen, I want you guys to walk in the plans that God has for you. He's got great plans for you. There were words that he spoke to you in times past. There were things he showed you. Those are glimpses. Those are nuggets of faith to believe God for. He's setting some things in motion. Amen? Why don't you stand up? As an act of faith tonight, I want all who feel led to come up here. And when you come up here tonight, you're making a faith statement. You're saying, God has good things for me, and by faith, you're stepping out into those good things. Amen. And you're going to believe God for your future.
Amen.
If Noah could do something simply based on what God said, with no physical evidence, no historical evidence, no archaeological evidence, simply by doing what God said, he initiated a task. Yes, it took him a long time, but it was worth doing because he did it with God. Amen? Listen, when God asks you to do something, he doesn't expect you to do it alone. If you think you're going to do it alone, then that's pride. God doesn't work by pride. Whatever God tells you, he will go with you. Jesus said, I never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I will be with you always. He said, lo, I will be with you always. So those of you, I want you to reclaim your future tonight.
Amen.
Maybe if you think you made a mistake that God can never forgive, that's a lie. Amen? Because you're here tonight. If you're here tonight, God's doing something in your life. If you're here tonight, you're still making yourself available to God. Amen? So God's not done with you yet. For some of you, he's just getting started. So as you come up tonight, you're making a faith statement. You're saying, I'm claiming the good works that God has for me. I'm going to stand on God's promises to bring it to pass. I'm going to believe God for my future. I'm going to go forward with God. I'm going to walk with God. And you're making that faith stand tonight. Amen? So, Father, we give you thanks and praise. And if you feel the Holy Spirit just moving, just come on up. Amen? You're taking a stand for God, for your future. Hallelujah. You may not know how. You may not know when, but just know this, that God will do it again and again and again. When you grab a hold of God, he will get a hold of you. Young people, let me tell you something. You got to make a faith stand for your future. You're either going to... Jesus said, you're either for me or you're against me. So young people, you're included. God's got a future for you. So why don't you take a faith stand and hook up with God for your future tonight? That means you got to come and take a stand. You got to come and see, your physical action of standing is demonstrating your faith. So let God move you. Let him compel you and come and stand with God for your future. Believe God for great things for your future. I don't care how you started, I care how you finish. And man, I want you to finish strong. I want you to go long. Let God forgive you of the mistakes that you made. Forget about the mistakes. They're under the blood. You can't live by the rearview mirror. There's something bigger ahead of you. There's something bigger before you. You're going to reach your destiny in Christ Jesus. Come on, the kingdom of God suffers violence and the violent taken by force. You got to take your future. You got to take hold of it. With everything that's within you. You gotta walk past the brokenness. Your best days are ahead of you. The those negative words that were spoken over you, I break them in Jesus' name. Those lies that the enemy told you to try to stop you, I break them in Jesus' name. Those violations that you encountered, I break it in Jesus' name, and may God heal you and touch you and deliver you in Jesus' name. We're going forward with God. You are not, this is not a Texas two-step where you take two steps forward and three steps back. You're going all forward. Time to come up higher. Forgive yourself and move on. And quit, stop making excuses as to why you can't do what God said. Don't let fear stop you. Punch fear out and knock it, break its jaw. Don't be afraid. The path of the righteous, Proverbs 4 says, it gets brighter and brighter as the noonday sun. Amen? Everybody needs sunglasses. It's going to get brighter. It's going to get better. If there was something that made you bitter, let go of it now. Don't let a root of bitterness spring up into you, but get better. Because it's batter up. You're on deck for greatness. You're on deck for greatness.
Right now. Your blood takes away the curse.
Today is a day of new beginnings.
Your blood.
Today is a day where you can have a new and fresh anointing. I see you with bionic faith. You're going to be faster. You're going to be stronger. You're going to be better. You're going to last longer. You're going to go beyond the normal mark. You're going to go further than you ever thought you could go. God does not lie.
Your blood is sufficient for me.
Shake off those weights and those things that easily beset you.
Mend a broken heart right now.
This is a weight-free journey. Father, just pour it on him right now. Oh, in the name of Jesus, pour on that oil. That oil in the name of Jesus. That oil, Father. That holy oil. That holy anointing. I declare a breakthrough in the name of Jesus. A breakthrough in the name of Jesus.
Your blood is sufficient.
Father, I thank you for light flooding him right now. The light of your glorious gospel. Lord, take the veil off. Take the veil off right now. In the name of Jesus, let him put unveiled face. Let him look above. Set your mind on things above. Above. Above the clouds. Above the storms. Hallelujah. Learn to use the instruments that God put on the inside of you. You have been instrument-rated by God in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I break lack in the name of Jesus. Going forward in the vision that God has for you. Going forward in the plans that God has for you. A fresh anointing that will strengthen you through and through and through in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. A breakthrough in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Breakthrough in Jesus' name. Breaking things. Breakthrough in Jesus' name. Breakthrough in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Breakthrough. Breakthrough in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Break through in Jesus' name. Break through in Jesus' name. Come up higher in Jesus' name. Break through, break through. Spread your wings. Woo! Spread your wings and fly. Hallelujah. Oh, break through in Jesus' name. Not holding anything back in Jesus' name. Break through. Break through in Jesus' name. Break through in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Break through in Jesus' name. Break through in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Break through in Jesus' name. New anointing. Oh, invigorating, invigorating, and strengthening. Yeah, he'll lift every burden in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say this. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm expanding my faith. I believe you for great things. I believe. I receive strength from God to do all things. I can do everything that you ask. I receive every word. I'm going on with you. I cannot fail. I will not quit, but I will succeed. I will reach my destination. I will achieve my destiny. And I'm leaving my past and the enemy in the dust in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Yes. Oh, a break.